Okay. Thank you very much, Grady. It's a pleasure to be here. And how'd you like to wake up and see your green look like that in the morning? The use of motorized turf equipment is vital to turf grass management, and the operation of this equipment relies on equipment fluids, including fuels, lubricating oils, and hydraulic oil. And spills of equipment fluids can occur as a result of mechanical failure or human error. And when they do occur, it injures the turf and serves as a source of environmental pollution. Relatively little data exists regarding spills of equipment fluids. Over the last 40 years, there's been a handful of papers written on the subject. And because this is a problem for superintendents around the world, additional research may lead to the adoption of better mitigation strategies. The objective of the research I'm going to present to you today is to use mathematics to better describe the injury resulting from spills of equipment fluids. And specifically what I looked at is the effect of equipment fluid type on the dynamics of both injury area and the progression of necrosis. This experiment started in September of 2014 in North Fort Myers, Florida. I used a 3 mil spill volume that was applied with a volumetric pipette that you can see in the picture on the right. The fluid was at ambient temperature, spilled on Tiff Eagle, mowed at a tenth of an inch. Plot size was 1 square foot. The experimental design was completely randomized with 4 replications, and the research was repeated with different randomization, and we analyzed it statistically to determine if there were differences between experiments, and there were not. So I've combined the data from the two experiments to present here today. The treatments I looked at were brake fluid, diesel fuel, gasoline, motor oil, petroleum hydraulic oil, and vegetable seed hydraulic oil. Now, what's the best way to characterize a spill of equipment fluid, the injury associated with it? Well, you pair digital image analysis with nonlinear regression modeling and look at two variables, the injury area in terms of size and then the color of the injured turf. These are some plots of injury area over 139 days. So the time period here is 139 days. And I drew a blue line at halfway through the figure at the top and at the bottom just to give a little bit of scale. And you can see that there are some pretty interesting differences among our 6 treatments here in terms of injury area. But one of the things is that each one of these spills from each one of these fluids has 3 things in common. And the first thing in common that they have is that the spills always expand. So there is an expansion phase where the injury is occurring. The spills always come to a plateau phase where there is a maximum injury area occurring. And then there's a healing or a contraction phase. And that has been true for every spill that I've made. And over the last 10 years, I've made a lot of spills. You know, it's kind of cool. You get former students who have superintendent jobs at a golf course, and you get to go out on their nursery and kill their grass, and they love you for it and buy you lunch. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. So one of the things I did as well, and this is vegetable hydraulic oil data. This is injury area with time, and I was able to fit a nonlinear regression model to this data and got a very nice fit, an R squared of 0.83. And I found that the best fitting model for injury area is a hyperbolic linear model of this particular form, which is a Michaelis-Menten equation along with a linear component to it. And in this equation, y is our response variable, injury area in square centimeters. X in the numerator and denominator and in the linear part is our explanatory variable, in this case, days after treatment. A in the numerator is the maximum limit of turf loss. B is the time needed to attain A, and C represents the rate of healing. Now, that's all well and good, but one of the cool things about doing this modeling is that you can derive additional information on dynamics of injury area by rearranging regression parameters. So we have the parameters here that we've calculated using the computer by fitting this regression equation to this data. And so for vegetable hydraulic oil here, our maximum expansion, our biggest injury area, is 26.14 square centimeters. Rearranging some of these parameters, we can calculate a time to maximum expansion. In this case, it's 10.72 days. And again, rearranging regression parameters, we can calculate injury duration, which in case for vegetable hydraulic oil is 42 days. Can also do another manipulation and calculate the rate of change. And here, for this particular rate of change, which is minus 0.029 sine square centimeters per day, that's out here at 64 days, and that's how fast that this slope is going down. This is the rate of contraction or healing. Another kind of cool thing I did is that I started to look at equipment fluid properties. And for example, when I plotted kinematic viscosity of each fluid against two of our calculated statistics here, time to maximum expansion and calculated healing times, we got some really nice R-squares of greater than 0.95. So the take-home lesson here is that injury from the higher viscosity fluids began healing later and took longer to heal. And viscosity had no real relationship to just injury area, but the properties of fluids tend to control how injury area is created for each of these fluids. Changing gears a little bit, I looked at chute color as well, or other variable. And what I did here is that I used, again, image analysis, and this is done with a program called ImageJ. And this is a 5 square centimeter photo of some untreated turf. And within this photo, I selected 10 different chutes to be measured. And what I did was, like, for example, here where number 3 is labeled, I took the line tool from ImageJ and I created a selection here that has a width of 1 pixel and a length of that varies. This is probably, I don't know, 150 pixels maybe, something like that. But then I ran what they call the color profiler, and that program, which is a standard in ImageJ, a standard subroutine in there, was able to calculate the average color space in terms of red, greens, and blues, in terms of pixel intensity. So the average of these 10 selections in here turned out to have a red value of 147, green of 177, and blue of 111. And that corresponded to a hue saturation brightness color space with a hue angle of about 87 degrees, which turned into a dark green color index of about 0.46. You're able to take these numbers, the red, green, blue color space, put it into a online color program like workswithcolor.com, and what that will do is, based on what these numbers are, spit out a best fitting HTML color. So in this case, the average of these 10 chutes in this green tissue, the color that came back was dark sea green. And that corresponded to a Munsell color of 7.5 GY7 over 6. Now, when you look at the different fluids, there were some very large differences between the way the fluids acted in respect to color change over time. Like, this is brake fluid at 1 day after treatment. And so putting brake fluid on turf chutes bleached them right away. There is no visible green chute color left. And vegetable hydraulic oil, on the other hand, there was a lot of visual green chute color left at 1 day, and at 3 days, and at 5 days, and you had a nice gentle progression to a brown necrotic color. So with brake fluid, we got a very steep initial slope here that plateaus out. So what happened here is that the color went from green to brown within 24 hours. And for vegetable hydraulic oil, it went from green to even maybe a little darker green, and then eventually it faded to a brown color. With this data, the best fitting regression model was an exponential decay model of this form, which is a 3-parameter exponential decay model. And from this model, Y is the hue angle at any time t. Y sub zero, this element, is the lower limit of Y as t approaches infinity, and that's the point where there's no green color left. A sub zero is the initial hue angle minus the lower limit, and that's essentially the number of degrees of green color involved. And what we're describing here is a function whose differences from the lower limit decay exponentially at a given rate. Now, you can do a little bit of algebra on this equation, like subtract Y sub zero from both sides, and what you get is an equation for a straight line and something that should be familiar to everybody in the form of Y equals MX plus B, where K here is a proportionality constant and log a sub 0 is our y-intercept. So for this data, if you plot the natural log of y minus y sub 0, the lower limit, versus t, you get an absolutely dead straight linear line with an r-squared adjusted of 1.000. The y-intercept is 4.12, which is right out here. Seems about right. And our proportionality constant is minus 0.16, which is the slope of this line. So it's decaying at, the visual green shoot color here is decaying at minus 0.16 per day. And if you divide that, our k value, into 0.693, you can get a visual green shoot color half-life of 4.33 days. And the point of the fitting this linear regression in this way with natural log is that when it is linear and you do this, that tells you that the decay of visual green color follows first-order kinetics. And that's not widely known in TURF, if it is known at all, but it is widely known in the food science industry where people are processing green vegetables, asparagus and broccoli and all kinds of things, and there's a lot of information in that arena about the decay of color and the kinetic models that best fit that data. So we have a nice linear, just absolutely dead linear line telling us we have a first order equation here. When we plot these as a zero order, which is just the differential data, or as the square root of that, as a transformation, or the reciprocal, we have pretty good fits for regression-wise. I mean, 0.978 is pretty good, but it's still a curve. And this is a curve, and this is a curve, but this is a straight line. So at least in vegetable hydraulic oil, the decay of visual green shoot color as measured by digital image analysis is decaying according to first-order kinetics, which means that the decay of color at any time is proportional to the amount remaining. And what I learned from doing this research is that all of the equipment fluids degraded visual green shoot color through first-order kinetics. So gasoline, brake fluid, and motor oil, these fluids consistently bleached at TURF within about 24 hours. And so the half-life, the visual green shoot color half-life, is about 6 hours for those fluids. So if you spill some gasoline on your TURF, that's going to turn bleached color, it's going to turn necrotic within about 6 hours, at least according to my model here. Diesel fuel and petroleum hydraulic oil, the half-life of the visual green shoot color is a little bit longer, about 1.6 days. And for vegetable hydraulic oil, it's longer still at 4.33 days. And so, in conclusion, from this research and from, you know, some research that I've done previously, we know that injury area is hyperbolic in nature. It always has an expansion, plateau, and contraction phase, and the progression of shoot necrosis, i.e. visual green shoot color decay, followed first-order kinetics, and that's something that hasn't been widely known at this point. This is the first attempt at modeling the decay of green shoot color associated with spills of equipment fluids, and modeling both injury area and shoot necrosis is novel and has implications for other aspects of turfgrass research.
And good question.
With that, thank you very much.
Here's one question back.
Yes.
I don't know, did you mention that all the treatments were put down at the same temperature, or was the hydraulic oil put down at
No, all the equipment fluids were put down at the same ambient temperature, which was about 95 degrees, same as outside when we did it. Now, I've done other research where we actually heated up the fluids to 80 degrees C, and I just haven't gotten around to doing it yet. I need to go back and look at that data because I have images of all that data as well to determine whether or not, first order kinetics applies to the change in green color associated with that, but I don't know that.
All right, let's thank Lee.